All right, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 159 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. And to this podcast, I'm going to be talking about a simple topic that I call minimizing trouble. Minimizing trouble. And the anchor scripture I'm going to use is going to be taken from the book of Proverbs chapter 1 verse 33. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 33. I'll read from the New Living Translation. It says, "But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm." But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, the thing is, there are some situations that people go through in life that are trials. You know, trials that they're supposed to go through, no problems. But honestly, one thing I've come to realize is that many of the troubles and many of the pains that people go through are a result of their own actions. Literally are a direct result of their own actions. So again, don't get me wrong, in the life of a Christian, there are trials. Even Jesus Christ said, "In this world you will have trouble. Be of good cheer, you have overcome the world." Yes, there's bound to be some troubles in the life of a Christian. But again, if all the troubles you're facing are just like tests of your faith, you know, and things like that, then that's different. Versus having so many troubles that you're just literally inflicting on yourself. And many people unfortunately fall into that category. They're going through so many pains, so many troubles, so many issues in life. Why? Literally because of their actions. Literally because of their actions. So today, I want to go over four principles that can help you minimize these troubles. Like basically, like, is there any way you can keep these self-inflicted troubles to a minimum? What are the principles you should apply? Number one is the principle of holiness. The principle of holiness. Look at what we just read in Proverbs 1:33. "But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm." When you obey God, when you listen to God, you'll be able to live in peace. And you won't be worried about harm befalling you. Literally, holiness is the best insurance system in the world. Holiness rooted in a relationship with God is the best insurance, is the best protection you can ever have in this world. Because God will always watch over his own. Look at the children of Israel when they were in the land of Egypt. Look at all the plagues and everything that struck the land of Egypt. But there was a Goshen for them. God literally shielded them. God literally protected them. If you notice, when Jesus Christ was born and Herod was trying to send people to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, God just gave the parents of Jesus instructions. And all they literally did was just obey those instructions. They obeyed those instructions consistently. As long as when God told them move, they moved. Stop, they stopped. They just lived that life of holiness. Because really, what is holiness? Holiness is just knowing God's will and doing it. That's it. There's nothing crazy. There's no ridiculous definition. It's just knowing God's will and doing it. Just trying to make sure that in everything you're doing, you're literally in the center of God's will. When you do God's will, you'll avoid so many troubles. You'll avoid so many pains. I'm telling you, like, you see people suffering. To be honest with you, even in my own personal life, there are some pains I've suffered just because of not obeying God. I'm like, oh, let me just do my own thing. And then you just suffer in the end. You can minimize suffering. You can minimize trouble if you really stay the course in holiness. Because the thing is, when God is asking you to obey his instructions, he has seen a future that you do not see. He has seen that pain that you do not see from not obeying him. So why don't you just obey God? I'm telling you, if you live a life of holiness, you will avoid many troubles in life. Now, what is the second principle? The second principle I'm going to discuss is the principle of consistency. The principle of consistency. One of the ways you can again minimize trouble is to just be consistent. Just literally be consistent. Many people are unfortunately not consistent. Many people are not consistent. They do the right thing for a season and then they stop doing the right thing after a while. But then when they stop doing the right thing, problems start cropping up. You just need to be consistent. You need to propose in your heart like the prophet Daniel. You know, Daniel, he proposed in his heart. He said, I'm not going to defile myself. And he was consistent. Don't get me wrong. Did Daniel face some troubles in his life? He did. But I'm telling you, the troubles that Daniel faced, they were very, 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 very minimal. He didn't face many things. If anything, he was just blessed from one king to the next, from one king to the next, right? Daniel lived a life of consistent holiness. So I'm just encouraging you today, be consistent. Don't be the kind of person that does God's will for a season and then stops. No, be consistent. Like the person that is going to lose weight is the person that is literally consistent in eating healthy, consistent in exercise. Just being consistent, being consistent, being consistent. A person that is consistent, they will not, the amount of troubles that they go through is just going to be very, very, very minimal. Now, what is the third principle that I want to discuss in terms of minimizing trouble? The third principle I want to discuss is, the principle of keeping your mouth shut. Is the principle of keeping your mouth shut. There's literally this part of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 21 verse 23, that says, he that keeps his mouth keeps his soul from troubles. There are many people that have gotten into trouble just because they opened their mouth. Just shut your mouth. If you don't need to talk, don't talk. Don't talk. It's not everything you have to comment on. It's not every situation you have to chime into. It's not everything that you're doing that you need to let people know about. No, keep your mouth shut. I'm telling you, look at, for example, I think in the Bible, there was this person after King Saul had died, just to try to curry favor with David. He ran to David and said, King Saul died. This is what happened. This is what happened. This is what happened. And then he was killed for what he said. He was killed for what he said because I think he was even lying. If I'm remembering that portion of scripture correctly, I think he was actually lying that he was the one that killed Saul. And David was like, what did you do? He was the Lord's anointed. You had no right to kill him. And he was killed by the sword. So I'm just encouraging you. Watch what you say. I'm telling you, like, one of the best ways to minimize trouble is just to shut up. Just to shut up. And the thing is, you actually have, like, internal peace from just keeping quiet. I'm telling you, there are so many verses in the Bible that talk about just keeping shut. So I'm encouraging you today. Be quiet. You don't have to talk every single time. Because every time you talk, you'll likely sin. Every time you talk, you'll likely disobey God. Every time you talk, you'll likely lie. Or you'll likely say something you'll regret. Or you end up revealing a secret that should not have been revealed. Or you say something that may hurt other people. Right? In fact, I love this part, I think, is of the book of James. That says that a man that can control his tongue, the same is a perfect man. Like, literally, you'll be perfect if you just control your tongue. One of the easiest ways of controlling your tongue is to just shut up. So again, I'm telling you, remember Proverbs 21:23. He that keeps his mouth keeps his soul from troubles. Keep your soul from troubles by literally shutting up. And then the final principle I'm going to talk about in terms of minimizing trouble is being content. Being content. Contentment. The principle of contentment. Many troubles that people get into in life. Many sorrows. Many trials and temptations they go through in life is because they want to keep having more and more and more and more. They are not content with what God has given them. Again, contentment is a virtue. I'm telling you, and it's something that makes life incredibly, incredibly, incredibly simple. When people are not content in their marriages, that's what makes them go and start sleeping around. That's what makes them go and watch pornography. Start doing all these things. They're not content with the spouse that God has given them. They are not content. They're greedy. They're stingy. They want more, more, more. More than God's provision for them. Let me tell you this. If a provision is not from God, you don't need it. And if you take that provision that is not from God, it will hurt you. That's the truth. I'll say that again. If a provision is not from God, you don't need it. And that provision that you think you're taking that, wow, this is good stuff. No, you're literally destroying your life. That's what you're doing. So I'll just encourage you, just be content with what you have. Because if having more things in life made a person have less trouble in their lives, then these people that are wealthy, these people that are celebrities, they won't be committing suicide. They won't be dealing with so much pain. I'm telling you, as you get, in fact, as a person gets more and more resources, more and more money, more and more this, in many cases, their sorrows multiply. That's the truth. Because they worry about this, they worry about that, they worry about this, they worry about that. But again, if you live in humility, if you live in humble, if you're humble, if you're content, then you can enjoy life. Contentment is one of the best ways to enjoy life. That is just the truth. Because there's this part of the book of Proverbs that says that it's better to, you know, live at the, I'm paraphrasing, but like a humble meal in the fear of the Lord than having like great riches or great meals where there is strife, there is chaos and everything. So it's just better to be content, to be humble. That content, humble life is just a life that is largely devoid of trouble. That is just the truth. Again, you may face trials and temptations just from being a Christian. But again, many of the other trials and temptations that people face, all the anxiety, all the worry, everything that people face, you can avoid many of those things by just being content. And then really a fifth principle just kind of came to mind. And that fifth principle of minimizing trouble is the principle of patience. The principle of patience. People are in such a hurry. People are in such a hurry. People don't want to be persistent and wait on something. And then they rush feet first and then they rush into evil. There's this part of the Bible that says that there is a way that seems right to a man. It seems right. But the end thereof is the way of death. I'm telling you, you just want to avoid many of these things. These are things you don't have to deal with. If you were just patient. Just patient. Many people, they rush into decisions. And then they then spend weeks, months, years on doing those bad decisions. When they could have just done the right thing in the first place. And they not have had to live with the chaos and the trouble of having to undo their bad deeds. Let me tell you this. Activity does not always mean prosperity. Activity does not always mean progress. If you're taking a few actions, but those few actions are measured and prudent, taking impatience is better than doing many things and you take some good actions and then you dilute out those your good actions with impatient bad actions. So I'm just encouraging you today, brethren, please be patient. Be patient. Many people, oh, I want a wife. All my friends are getting married. I gotta get married. So anyone that comes along, they just marry. And then they just marry an odious spouse. And then they get into long-term trouble. They get into long-term pain. When if they are just being patient on God, go to exactly who God wanted for them, they will not be in trouble. They will have a happy marriage. There is no point in marrying quickly and then suffering as a result of that. Right? It's better to wait long. I've heard this saying, it's better to wait long than to marry wrong. It's better to wait long than to marry wrong. You'll marry wrong if you're patient, if you're steadfast. So I really pray that God will help us to employ the principles of holiness, of patience, of consistency, of contentment, and of keeping our mouth shut and avoiding and minimizing trouble. And the Lord will bless his word in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Now, the final thing I want to say is, again, you cannot live a life of holiness if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't just say, oh, I'll be doing the right thing, I'll be kind to people, but you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it doesn't work that way. So if you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've said things that don't please you. I've done things that don't please you. I've thought about things that don't please you. Please have mercy upon me. Forgive me of all my sins. I confess all these sins before you. I forsake them. I repent of them. I invite you to come into my heart and my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Father, I pray for those that have just given their lives to you. I pray that you please give them the grace to do your will. I pray that you please give them the grace to walk in your ways. I pray, Lord, that they will not fall by the wayside. And I pray, Lord, that you help us to be holy, to be patient, to be content, to to be consistent and to keep our mouth shut, to only speak when it's edifying, that your name might be glorified, O God. I commit, Lord, our lives, our families into your hands. Please protect us. There's a lot of evil going on in the world. But Lord, just like you carved out the Goshen for your children, carve out the Goshen for us and keep us from the wiles of the evil one. Let all be well with us, Lord. And please continue to minister to our hearts and to our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So for those that have said the prayer of salvation, congratulations. You're a child of God. I will encourage you to do three things. One, find a Bible translation you understand. I love the New Living Translation. It's very easily understandable. Just read it and do what it says, and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. It's wisdom to follow a Bible reading plan so it can kind of keep you on track. Even if it's one verse a day you're reading, just meditate. Don't just really meditate on it and do what it says. And then your life will be turned around. Number two, and you'll also grow in your walk with God. And then number two, listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. It's a series of podcasts, 96 to 101, titled The 5 Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you should be doing to grow in your relationship with God. Number three, find a Bible-believing church. Not a church, a Bible-believing church. There are many places that call themselves churches, but they don't do things that are in line with the will of God. They don't preach things that are in line with the will of God. You don't want to be there. I'll tell you that. You absolutely, positively do not want to be there. You want to be in God's will. You want to walk in his ways. Right? So go to a place that truly preaches the Bible. A place that does not try to twist the word to fit some new age tradition or new age thing. No, you don't want to be in those kinds of places. Attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God. It's a wonderful church. And there are many, it's a great, great, great church. But there are many also great, other great churches around the world. But just find a place where you can plug yourself in with other believers. Do God's will, walk in his ways, obey his commandments, and all will be well with you. Until episode 160, have a wonderful rest of your week. And God bless you. Shalom. Bye for now.